Thank you, Dr. Scotty. So good. Welcome to church, everyone. Lovely to see you here. My name is Noah, and if we haven't had the privilege of meeting, and my wife and I, Michelle, we have the enormous privilege of being campus pastors here at Reedy Creek. King's is one church in three locations. Our senior pastors are away ministering elsewhere at the moment, but so grateful to be here and to have you here as well. If you're visiting, welcome. For those of you who are new to the state, welcome. Thank you for coming to sunny Queensland. So great. But I just felt to pray just for some people, and it's a scripture I shared with some of our seniors a little while ago, and it's from Psalms 127. And there is a portion in that scripture that talks about children. And it says, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb are a reward. And then it says, goes on to say, happy is a man, so that sons born to a man in his youth are like arrows in a warrior's hands. And happy is the one whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be put to shame. And I just felt to pray for parents or grandparents that have children that are far from the Lord right now. And I know that you have been praying for them and you have been believing that they would come to faith, they would come to relationship with God. And many of you have been praying for years for these children and grandchildren. I just want to encourage you, don't give up on your prayers. Your prayers are not in vain. And also, that scripture is significant because the Bible is comparing children to arrows in a warrior's hands. And your children, even though they may be wayward, they are still warriors. They are still like arrows in a warrior's hand. And just as an arrow needs to be propelled, in order for it to be propelled forward, it needs to be protracted backwards. Some of you have kids that you are looking at them right now and you're thinking, there is no way they're coming to faith. They are off doing some crazy things. I just want to prophesy and tell you, the further back they might be, it's only because they're going to be propelled even further forward. And that God might be taking them backwards, but it's only so that they could be propelled forward. So I just want to ask respectfully, if you have a child or a grandchild that is far from faith at the moment, far from God, and you have been praying for them, can you just raise your hand? Because I just want to declare over them right now. Awesome. Awesome. Father, I just thank you, Lord. Your word will not return to you void. And I just declare, Lord God, that these children were not a mistake. They were not an accident. You planned for them to be in these families, to be a part of these parents' and grandparents' lives. And I thank you, Lord God, that the words that have been prayed over them, the prophecies that have been spoken over them, the promises that have been declared will not return to you void, Lord God. And that though they have been protracted backwards, it's only so that they could be propelled forward. And I just declare in this season, Lord God, that prodigal sons and prodigal daughters will be coming home in the name of Jesus. They will be coming back to relationship with you and coming back into the house of God. I declare this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, so good to be with you this morning. And I have a word that I felt to preach this word this morning. And it's something that I had actually preached a few weeks back on our evening service. And it sort of came about in a really funny way. But a couple of months ago, I went on my very first adventure race. Now, some of you laugh, and rightfully so, because this was a 9-kilometer, 60-obstacle race. Now, I am an unfit, overweight Polynesian. I have no business being on anything that this athletic. But I blame the St. Henry's for this because I went along with them and some other athletes, real athletes. And so I struggled through this, and many a time throughout the course I was thinking, I'm going to bail, I'm going to have a heart attack, they're going to find my body somewhere because I just can't finish this. I'm dragging this body through all these obstacles. But there were many times where I noticed that there were tracks that had this massive decline, but then it would come up again. And at first, when I came to these points, you know, I was sort of gingerly and hesitantly making my way down, but then it was like a climb upwards. And I felt at the next one, don't just walk or sort of dawdle your way down, run down. Now, that's counterintuitive. But this is what I found. When I ran down the decline, I was actually able to gain momentum and go upwards on the incline, and it was so much easier. So every time I came to those points, that's what I would do. I would actually run downwards, and I found that I was able to, the momentum would carry me through. That's what this service is about. This service is about, at this point in so many people's lives, especially between Christmas and New Year's, it's kind of like we are waking from our food comas. How many of you have eaten so much that you're still sort of in a state of food coma? How many of you still got leftovers from Christmas Day? Awesome. I'm coming to your house after this. But it's almost like we have this thing where, you know, we're just trying to limp across the finish line. And we decided that we were going to do an anointing service because I felt, I heard the Holy Spirit say, no, you're going to run. You're going to run the end part of this year because it is going to give you the momentum you need to start the new year. So we're going to finish strong in order for us to start even stronger in this coming new year. Because we're not just starting a new year, we're actually starting a new decade. Which is really, really powerful. And I believe that this is going to be the most significant year and decade for so many of you. I believe that prayers that you have been praying for many, many years, you're going to see the fruition and you're going to see the realization and the manifestation of those prayers in this new coming season. And don't be fooled, this is not just about, you know, the hype and the hope and the optimism that we sort of feel around this time. Because the new seasons are not always determined by clocks and calendars, but they are determined by revelation and application. So I'm going to give you some revelation today, and I believe that if we apply this, we are going to be propelled forward into our greatest year and into our greatest decade. Amen? All right, if you have your Bibles with you, can you please turn with me to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And we're going to start from verse 46 and reading to 52. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. I'm reading from the Amplified Version, which is the version that I read my Bible in because it gives you so much extra in terms of explanation and things like that. So this is what it says. Then they came to Jericho, being Jesus and his disciples. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road, as was his custom. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly rebuked him, telling him to keep still and be quiet. But he kept on shouting all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, telling him, "Take courage, get up, he is calling for you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, let me regain my sight." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following Jesus on the road. Let me draw your attention to verse 50. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up and came to Jesus. The title of this message is No More Cloaks. There are certain things that before you cross into 2020, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying you need to throw those things aside. You no longer need those things. They no longer define you or identify you. And it is this time that we are going to be throwing those things aside because God is calling us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for what you have given us today, Lord God, an opportunity to encounter you, to be anointed afresh, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit and with power, Lord. So I thank you that the words you are giving me, Lord God, are not just mine, but they are from you. I pray that they would find fertile soil in the hearts and minds of your people. Bless this message, Lord God, and your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, many of you may know that Jericho was the first city that the children of Israel encountered when they journeyed 40 years from the wilderness and they crossed over the Jordan into the promised land. Jericho was the very first city, and it was the most fortified city. But here's the thing, after the children of Israel conquered Jericho and the walls came down, the leader of the children of Israel, Joshua, he actually cursed the city. And you'll read this at the end of the book of Kings. Joshua curses the city and he says, "Cursed is the man who rebuilds these walls. He will lay the foundation with his firstborn and he will set the gates with his youngest." And these words actually came true. Hundreds of years later, they actually rebuilt the city of Jericho. And the gentleman who actually was responsible for it, he lost his eldest and he lost his youngest. And this is a cursed place. But here we find Jesus Christ himself is walking through the city of Jericho. Aren't you glad that there are no places that are off limits to God? That there is no area in your life, there is no place that is too far gone, there is no generational curse that God is intimidated with, that Jesus here is walking through a cursed place. And he walks in through this cursed place, and the Bible tells us that he encounters a gentleman by the name of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, this is not just a name, it's actually a title. Bar means son of, Timaeus means highly prized. So Bartimaeus is the son of someone who was highly prized. And yet, even though his name is highly prized, he is seated in a lowly position. And it doesn't matter where we find ourselves when Jesus passes by, Jesus is the one that can take us from the background to the forefront. It doesn't matter what names we have placed on ourselves or how people have chosen to identify us. One encounter with the living God can change everything. And that's what I want to identify here, that in this point we find in verse 50, the gospel writer is very, very specific about the fact that he threw his cloak aside. He threw his cloak aside. So what's a cloak? Now, I don't want anyone to be confused that a cloak is a robe. It is not a robe. A cloak is not a cape. It's not a cape. Actually, I have some examples just to be able to clearly identify what a cloak is. And some of you may be able to identify. So let's bring up that first example of what a cloak is. Here we have Frodo Baggins and some of his friends, and they are wearing elven cloaks, obviously from The Lord of the Rings. We got that next image. Here we go, some Star Wars fans. We have some Jedi cloaks here. So we have a young Obi-Wan Kenobi, a young Darth Vader, and Nick Fury from the Avengers. But he's not playing that character. And the next one, okay, so this is Dr. Stephen Strange from the Marvel franchise. And he's actually wearing something called the Cloak of Levitation. And this thing is powerful. It has a mind of its own. So these are all examples of cloaks. Now, Bartimaeus was wearing a cloak, and it wasn't just his covering. Back in the time that he was alive, scholars tell us that the cloaks that beggars wore actually were like a council permit. They were actually like a license that they were given in order to be positioned and to be able to beg where they were. So even if you were a beggar, you couldn't just go and sit anywhere. They were given specific areas. And so Bartimaeus was given a cloak. And let's just bring up that image. There's a artist's depiction of what that cloak might have looked like. And this cloak, not only did it serve as his covering, but it also served to identify him as a person that was allowed to beg in that area. Not only was it like his permit or his license, it also acted as his collection. So the cloak was actually where people would throw their money as they passed, and he would sort of wrap this up at the end of it. And now watch what happens, because when Jesus calls him, the Bible says in verse 50, he casts aside his cloak. Now you have to remember that at this time the cities were filled with pilgrims that were heading up to Jerusalem. This was the time of the Passover, so people, that's why the Bible is specific about the crowds that were following Jesus up from Jericho up to Jerusalem. So, you know, we can only imagine that this was a good day for Bartimaeus. This was a good day. There was a lot of people, you know, and as part of their religious duty, they knew they had to give. And so, you know, hence his cloak would have been pretty full. Now, watch what happens when Jesus calls him. He casts this cloak aside. This cloak that identified him, defined him, was his collection point for money. And this is the thing. When he cast that cloak aside, there would have been money and stuff flying everywhere. But Bartimaeus didn't care. Because when you get the call of God, your priorities shift. When you get the call of God, those things that you elevated and prioritized before are no longer that important. Because the call of God is the thing that is prioritized above all of those things. And so Bartimaeus casts his cloak aside and he comes to Jesus. And I just want to talk really quickly in our remaining time about three things that we need to cast off. Three types of cloaks that Bartimaeus here identifies and that we can learn from him that we need to cast aside in order for us to step into this new year and into this new decade. And the first type of cloak is the cloak of limitation. It is the cloak of limitation. So it tells us at the very first verse of this passage that Bartimaeus is sitting by the roadside, as was his custom. So he was limited by the fact that his cloak limited where he could go and what he could do. And I just believe that God is telling us that if we are to step into this new season, this new year, this new decade, those things that had been limiting you before, that maybe they were your customs or habits, that it is in this time that it is now the time to cast those cloaks off, to cast off all of those limitations, to cast off all of those things that had been restricting us to one place or to one thing. And we can't kind of do anything else because what we are covered in defines us to this point. And God is saying, no, this is the time to cast off all of those things that are limiting you. I was reading just recently a passage in Genesis chapter 2 that really shook me up and really speaks to this. And we can just bring up that passage in Genesis chapter 2. And it comes at the point where God is creating all the creatures. And Adam doesn't have a helpmate suitable for him. And so the Bible says that the Lord God formed all out of the ground every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that's what its name was. So watch what happens. God says, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmate comparable to him. And then all these animals come up out of the ground and God sends them Adam's way. And Adam names every single one of them. And God watches him name them. And as he names them, whatever name he gives them, that is the name that it remains as. And I felt when I read this, the Holy Spirit say, I am giving you another year. I am bringing a brand new year your way. Whatever you decide to name it, that's what it's going to be. Because when God made this, when God did this, God is not standing by correcting Adam. Adam doesn't bust out these massive names for some of these creatures. Hippopotamus, multi-syllable names. Rhinoceros. God doesn't come and say, hey, now Adam, you're getting a bit carried away now. That is way too, it's too extreme, mate. Tone it down a bit. No. God says, whatever you name it, that's what it's going to be. And so whatever this coming year and you decide to name it, that's what it's going to be. If you decide, well, it's just going to be another year like last year or this year, you know, saying it's like the old saying, just another day, another dollar, same old, same old. If that's what your declaration is, that's what it's going to be. But I believe that God is allowing us in this moment, whatever you declare it, and this is what it says in the book of Job, you shall declare a thing and it shall be established. And I'm not just saying that this works like magic, that we just sort of say whatever. But this came as a result of Adam's close, intimate relationship with God. He was made in the image and likeness of God. And so God entrusted to him whatever he named the thing that was coming to him, that's what it would be. And just as you have been made and created in the image and likeness of God, whatever God is bringing you, whatever you decide to name it, that's what it's going to be. So I decided I'm not just going to be a hearer of the word, I'm going to be a doer. And I'm just declaring this year coming, this is going to be my greatest year yet. And that's not just optimism or positive speech or positive confession. I'm putting this principle in place. I'm declaring that this is going to be the most fruitful, this is going to be the most productive, this is going to be the most effective, all of those things. This is going to be my greatest year yet. And I believe the same for our church right here at Reedy Creek. I know that we've got a rich history, and shout out to Pastor Kinder. God bless you, sir. Great to have you here with us. And we are so grateful for the rich history that we have here. But let me tell you, Reedy Creek King's Church has not seen its best days. The best days are still to come, because the Bible tells us that we go from glory to glory, from strength to strength. So we are grateful for all those great moments and those great experiences and the people that work so hard. But let me tell you, the greatest really is to come. This is not just Christian platitude or cliches. This is actually how God does a thing. That the glory of the latter house will always be greater than the glory of the former house. And I'm just declaring right now that this will be the greatest year thus far that our church has seen. Because we are getting this. We are having this brought our way. So you might as well name it something. You might as well name it something that God's going to agree with. Because God not once... And you think of all the species of animals that Adam has to name. God does not once correct him and say, no, Adam, give it another name. No, no, no. Whatever name he gave it, that's what it was. And whatever name you decide to give this coming year, or any opportunity that comes your way, or any situation that you might be confronted with, whatever comes your way, give it a name. And whatever that name is, that's what it's going to be. Amen. But whatever limitations you may have set on yourself, this is the season and this is the day that it is time to cast that thing off. It is time to cast that thing off. Many of you know that my family and I, we used to live in Tasmania, which is a beautiful place, except in winter. We spent 5 cold winters down there. This time of year is absolutely glorious. It is a beautiful time of year. And I'll never forget this moment that I had, where I was down by the Derwent River there, absolutely beautiful, and I was on a lunch break, and I parked my car in between two jetties, in the car park, right in this front, waterfront. It was absolutely beautiful, and there was these two jetties, and I'd parked sort of in the middle, and I noticed that there were people that were out there fishing, and I didn't really pay much attention, because I was doing a bit of reading and eating at the same time, and whilst that was happening, I heard a bit of commotion. And I heard it sounded like laughter or giggles. And I looked up, and what happened was there were actually 3 people that were fishing. There were 2 people on this jetty. There was 1 person over here. And the 2 people on this side were pulling up fish like I couldn't believe it. No sooner had they cast their line, fish were just literally jumping out of the water. And they were giggling and laughing and calling to their other friend, who then abandoned their spot, ran over, and at the same time was just casting their lines. And no sooner had their line hit the water, they were literally pulling in fish. And they didn't even have time to put the fish in the bucket, so we're just leaving it on the jetty. Now, here's the thing. It just so happened, I don't know what it was, maybe it was a school of fish that was swimming past, and they capitalized on that. But here's the thing that blew me away. The 3 people that were fishing were middle-aged Japanese women. Middle-aged Japanese women. Now, I say that because if you were to talk to me about successful or effective fishermen, that is not the image that you would have. I mean, for goodness sake, one of them had a Hello Kitty pink puffer jacket on, going out fishing. But it didn't matter what they looked like. It didn't matter how I thought their results would be. They were in the right moment at the right time, willing to cast a line, and as a result, they were extremely fruitful. And I felt the Holy Spirit teach me something at that moment, that don't ever judge someone based on their appearance. Don't ever think that you can box someone and say, this is what you can do and this is what you can't do. Because God in this hour, I believe, is just looking at who is available. Who is going to be willing to cast a line in and do what I'm calling you to do? Who is going to be willing to do it? Because sometimes we look at ability and God is saying, I'm not interested in your ability. I'm not looking for your ability. I'm looking for your availability. If you make yourself available, I will make you able. And God is not looking for all of our abilities and how skilled and how great we are. He's just looking at someone like the prophet Isaiah saying, here I am, Lord, send me. And so these women taught me a very, very important lesson that day, that we should never ever put limitations on ourselves about this is what I can do and this is what I can't do. Because I believe that if you step into this new season believing and declaring what you feel deep down that God has given you, I believe that God is going to allow you to see it. God is going to allow you to see it. Amen. Here's the second cloak that I think we need to get rid of, and it's the cloak of imitation. It's the cloak of imitation. It says in verse 48, many sternly rebuked him, telling him to keep still and be quiet. But he kept on shouting out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus did not allow the crowd to dictate terms to him. Bartimaeus was not trying to be in the crowd. He was not trying to be one of the crowd or to imitate what the crowd were like. Because there were crowds of people there, but it was only one person who was activating their faith and calling out that messianic title, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I'm reminded of David going down to battle Goliath. And he comes to King Saul, who tries to put all of his armor on David. Helmet, breastplate, sword, all of these things. And you have to remember that this is the king. So he had state-of-the-art equipment. He had the best of the best resources. But David tries to walk in this stuff and he takes it off and he says, I can't go in this because I'm not used to it. And he just picks up his sling, pocket full of rocks, and heads out to face the giant. Don't ever try and imitate people that have gone before you, because maybe God has given you a unique anointing that no one else has seen before. And God is telling you, be yourself. Don't try and be a part of the crowd. Don't try and allow other people to dictate terms to you, but be yourself. Do what God has given you to do. Not try and imitate and copy what other people have given. You know, I talked about Joshua and the children of Israel. Joshua served as a protege to Moses, one of the greatest leaders of Israel. As they were in the wilderness, the Bible says they were in the wilderness for 40 years, 40 years. And when they were in the wilderness, they were following Moses. But Moses was following the presence of God that manifests as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So every time the cloud by day would stop, Moses would look at the cloud and he would get up and he'd move and the whole nation would move with him. Or at night, if the pillar of fire appeared and moved, he would look for that pillar of fire and he would get up and he would move and the whole nation would follow with him. Now for 40 years, Joshua has seen Moses look up and then move out. And it would have been so easy for him to follow suit. But this is what happens. They cross over the Jordan into the promised land, and there's no more cloud and there's no more pillar of fire. And had Joshua been preoccupied with looking up, he would have missed it. But because he was a different leader and he was given a different assignment, God tells him, don't look up. He says, look down. Because everywhere the soles of your feet tread, that's what I'm giving you. If Joshua had to try to imitate Moses and looked up and looked for that thing, he would have missed it. But God was giving him something new. So he had to decide to cast off the cloak of imitation. Yes, we honor previous leaders. We are grateful for the foundation they've set and all they have done. But God is calling some of you who are in a transition period or who are taking on, God is calling you to listen to him. Because maybe like Joshua, God's not calling you to look up. He's telling you to look down. Everywhere your feet tread, that's what I'm giving you. And the last one is this. The last one, it says in 51, verse 51, Jesus says to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" What do you want me to do for you? The final cloak, I believe, that many of us need to cast aside is the cloak of humiliation. It is the cloak of shame. The reason why this is so significant, this verse, you have to picture this moment. The crowds have gathered, and at first, when Bartimaeus is calling out, the crowd had shut him up. But he doesn't listen to the crowd. He decides to cry out even more. And as he does, Jesus stops. And how many of you know that when Jesus stops, everyone stops? Jesus stops and he calls him. He tells someone, call him to come here. And so this is the point where Bartimaeus casts off his cloak. He gets up and he comes to Jesus. And you have to imagine this scene, this mismatch, unlikely duo right here. Jesus, the Son of God, and blind Bartimaeus, a beggar. And they are standing there, and the whole crowd are leaning in. And there is this holy hush waiting to hear what would happen next. And Jesus says the following, "What do you want me to do for you? What can I do for you?" Now, when I used to hear that being preached or read that, I used to think, well, isn't it obvious? But that's actually not the point. The point is, what is Jesus doing by asking him this question? Jesus is regaining, giving back to him, not just his sight, he's giving back to him his dignity. He's giving back to him his value and his worth. Picture it, a blind beggar that is seated by the side of the road, the absolute bottom of the food chain in that society. When was the last time he would have ever had anyone say those words to him? What can I do for you? But for most of his life, it would have been the reverse. As a beggar, what can I do for you so that you can give me what I'm asking? But here we have the Son of the living God standing in front of him, and he is not just restoring his sight, but he is restoring his dignity. He is restoring self-respect and honor back to him. Everything that he had lost as a result of his blindness and was put on him, Jesus is giving it back to him with that one question, what can I do for you? And in that moment, Bartimaeus, before he gets his sight, he gets his respect back, he gets worth back, he gets honor back, because God doesn't just see him as a beggar needing something, he sees him as a son created in his image and likeness. And I believe that for many of us, stuff has happened in our past and maybe even this year, and we are cloaked in shame and guilt and condemnation. I want to tell you, before we step into this new year, God is saying, take that cloak of humiliation off. Take the cloak of shame off of you. In Isaiah chapter 61, there is this beautiful messianic prophecy about Jesus Christ who was to come. If we can just bring that up. Isaiah 61, and it says this in verse 7. Instead of your former shame, you will have a double portion. And instead of humiliation, your people will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, in their land, they will possess double what they had forfeited. Everything, everlasting joy, will be theirs. I believe that this was fulfilled in Christ and is still being fulfilled in those who follow Christ. That the humiliation and the shame that we may have suffered in life, that Jesus is saying, I'm going to remove that from you, and in its place, I'm going to give you a double portion. I'm going to give you a double portion. That's exactly what Bartimaeus got. He got a double portion. He got his self-respect back, but he also got his sight back. And I believe that there are many here today, and there are things that has cloaked you, things that have cloaked you throughout the year. This is the time to cast off all of those things, because I believe that God himself is giving you something specific something unique in order for you to cross over into this new year and to have the greatest year that you have ever encountered. Amen. Could I ask you respectfully just to bow your heads and close your eyes? And for some of you, as I've gone through some of these things, cloak of limitation, the cloak of imitation and the cloak of humiliation, that some of these things, or it might be some other types of cloaks that you have covered yourself with or you have worn unknowingly, or other people may have put them on you, or you have may have put it on yourself, or circumstances may have put them on you. But I believe in this moment that God is saying, this is a time when, just like Bartimaeus, you can cast that cloak off. No more cloaks. No more being limited. No more being imitators of other people. And no more suffering and shame and condemnation and guilt. But this is your time to walk into this new year absolutely free. And so I just want to ask respectfully, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're in this place and maybe one of those things resonated with you, that has been covering and cloaking you right now, can I just ask you to lift your hand? Awesome. Hands going up. So I'm just going to pray that in this moment, God is going to take that thing off of you forever. The reason why Bartimaeus cast it off is he was never, ever going to go back to that cloak ever again. It was never going to define him. It was never going to cover him again, because he had no need for it, because he had encountered Jesus. So, Father, I just thank you right now, Lord God, all over this building, every single hand that is raised, Lord. I thank you that cloaks have been cast aside right now, Lord, in the spirit realm. Whatever that cloak is, Lord God, a cloak of shame, guilt, condemnation, a cloak of feeling unworthy, a cloak, Lord God, of things that have been limiting them from going forward, keeping them stuck where they are. I just declare in the name of Jesus, Lord God, a double portion for where they have been and where you are bringing them into, Lord. Pray that you would touch every single person, Lord God, who is responding right now. And I just thank you, Lord God, no more cloaks over them. I thank you that you are covering them, Lord God, right now with your grace, with your truth, and with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you wouldn't mind. Just one more moment. And maybe you're in here and you have never, ever made a decision to follow Jesus. This is your moment. What better day? There are literally 3 more days until the brand new year. And you have a moment to let your past go and to step into your new. So all across this place, if you have never made a decision to follow Jesus, doesn't matter that you've been attending church. It doesn't matter if your families are Christians. I'm asking you personally, do you know if you are right with God? And if you know that you're not, this is your moment right now. Put your hand up right now, wherever you are. And this is your moment where you're going to get right with God. You're going to make a decision to follow him into this new year, wherever you are. Awesome. Okay, church, can I ask you to stand here?